You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Those who have the pew Bibles, it's page 810. Matthew chapter 5, we are continuing on our series of studies from the Gospel according to Matthew, and this morning we consider Jesus' perspective on adultery. We are looking at the sin of adultery. Jesus' perspective on the sin of adultery. We have seen last week how Jesus feels about murder. That even if you have not done the act of murder, but the fact that you have hatred in your heart, it is also considered as murder. So it is not only the act, but also what is in the heart that matters as well. If you insult someone, you are liable to a court, you are liable to a council. The government has got the right to judge you, but also you must still stand before God. You are liable before God. If you say to your friend or your brother, especially the text said, your brother, the one you share a father with, especially our Father God, if you say to that brother, you fool, you are liable to the hell of fire. We have seen that last week. So we continue this morning. We look at Jesus' perspective on the sin of adultery. And I'll read from verse 27 to verse 30. It reads as following. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that the whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his words. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Friends, it is not easy these days to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel, even though I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is not easy for me to introduce myself as a pastor these days because of the sinful lives of the so many preachers in our days. If you have been here in this country, if you have been in South Africa for a year at least, you have realized already that this country is a country in a spiritual decline. There is no respect and honor for God. In some way, we have hijacked the sinful roller coaster, the American sinful roller coaster, and now the whole world is learning from us how to sin. The whole world is learning from us how to disrespect God in a way. The whole world is learning from us that even the sin of adultery is not a shame. In May 2015, Move magazine published an article called Meet the Pastors of Shame. The article did not intend to say that the pastors were ashamed of their disgraceful conducts, but that they actually shame the name of Jesus Christ. They shame the name of Christianity. Listen to this from the magazine itself. Bishop Hamilton Nala, probably you've heard of him, is a man who makes his own rules. The so-called bishop distorted the scripture to support his sin of adultery. What had happened is that he had taken another wife, and justified his acts according to scripture. He had his own interpretation to justify the sin of adultery. Pastor Zakel Ntiwane, a man who leads more than 1,000 followers,
He has been involved in a sinful and shameful sexual scandal involving a number of women, and yet he stands unashamed. Pastor Stembiso Zondo recently made headlines when his sex tape was leaked online, and in that tape he's seen naked with a woman who's not his wife. But that's not the best part of it. The best part of it, a surprising part of it, the shocking part of it, is that this scandal actually attracted more people to his church. As we speak today, there are no seats in his church because people have come to embrace this sinful doctrine and the lives of the pastor. And for some reason, we must still continue to call those people Christians. Pastor Andy Lenyemani, who leads one of the biggest churches in the Eastern Cape, left his marital home and went to live with his mistress. He went to live with his girlfriend, who happened to be, it happened that that woman is moving with is his wife's sister. What a shame. Here in Olivan, I know of a pastor myself who supposedly slept with his friend's wife, and in the same year he became an apostle. I know him. Me and Babaras, we told the story together. I know the man, but he is still an apostle today. That is shocking, my friend. These evil men dishonor God's command while they claim to be washed in the blood of the Son of God. These evil men continue to violate the law of God as though there are no consequences. And of course, my aim is not to speak about these evil men, because these people surely are not Christians. My aim is not to deal with that this morning. I want us to look at how Jesus feel about the sin of adultery, the act of being engaged with another person's wife or another person's husband. So as you open the first pages of scripture, you soon realize that God has put limitations before men. We see these limitations from the first pages of scripture. As you open Genesis chapter 2 verse 24, it says, "A man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So a man will be restricted only to his wife, the one he will move out with and make his wife, not many wives. There are so many restrictions that God has put. But the reason why I'm quoting from Genesis chapter 2 is to show to you that these limitations were set by God before God gave the law, the commandments of God in Mount Sinai. How is that important? So that we see that the law was already existing before even the law was written in that table of stone. So that we may see that God has a standard that we must keep up with. There is a standard that God has set that men must keep up with. But man continues to scorn the name of the Lord, because man is enslaved to sin and morally irresponsible, suppressing God's truth and not willing to retain the knowledge of God. Man continues to reject his moral obligation to God, always trying to create a God in his own image, loving what God hates, hating what God loves. That is man. The question is, again, how does Jesus feel about this? What is Jesus' perspective on adultery? So from the passage we have just read this morning, from verse 27 to verse 30, I want you to notice firstly that adultery is a violation of God's law. It is not because you're smart. The African men, they think it is because they are men, that's why they have to have all these women. But the scripture says it is a violation of God's law. Read verse number 27. "We have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.'" So what we realize is that there is a limitation. A limitation that comes direct from God. As I just alluded to you, These 10 commandments, this is commandment number 7, were written by God's own hand in the table of stone. So there is a limitation put there by God. But that limitation is put so that man can see that he is responsible to God. It was put there for man's good and nothing else. There are limitations from God. Limited in every way. A man limited to his own wife. So Jesus says, you know the teachings of God. You know God's heartbeat on this matter. You know the limitations that are there. You know that you are bound to your own wife and you are bound to your own husband. You should not be intimately involved with someone else rather than your spouse. Jesus says the Old Testament was given so that we know God's heartbeat. It was given to Moses. Yet it is not Moses' law. It is God's law. Which is why Jesus, in the verses above, the verses we dealt with, he says, I did not come to put away the law. I have come to fulfill it. I have not come to contradict Scripture. Scripture stands. The Word of God stands forever. Until heaven and earth passes away, these words will not pass away. So I have not come here to give you something new. I want you to remember what you have already been told in the past. Through Moses, God said, you shall not commit adultery. You have heard that God will not allow any of his children to be involved intimately in an extramarital affair. In other words, you figures of speech, you are not allowed, man or woman, you are not allowed, especially men, to go to another man's farm, pick up corn as it were, and become famous about it. I hope you get where I'm trying to go. You are not allowed, there's limitations. That's what Jesus is saying here. You cannot be a hero about this kind of wickedness. So Jesus knows the violation of God's word by the Pharisees and the scribes. So what is he doing now? Since he knows that the scribes and the Pharisees interpret God's word wrong, he now comes and interprets this word of God. He continues to give his disciples a correct and a perfect interpretation of God's law. And in the context of verse 27 to 30, Jesus emphasizes the truth that the physical act of adultery remains a sin that is condemnable before God. It remains a sin deserving death. Why? Because God's view of sin, God's view of immorality has not changed. It is the same as it was before. Nothing has changed. God will never in any way allow any of his children to have an extra relationship beyond the confines of marriage. God will not allow any of his children to have a relationship which breaks the bonds of a marriage covenant, because marriage is a covenant. So God says no. That's what Jesus is bringing to us here. So the problem in Jesus' day, as we see it here, it's also a problem in our day, as I've alluded to you, as I've given you that the few names from Move magazine. It is a problem that is alive even today, a problem that is alive in the church today, if I may use that word, church. Men have tampered with God's word, telling people what they want to hear, misleading the whole nation, creating some kind of a wave, a new wave of acceptance to sin in the church, blaming other people for their sin. You know what Pastor Zondo said when he was interviewed? He said, the woman I was with, not actually the woman, the people who leaked that video, God is going to deal with them. They are evil. They are from Satan. He's not looking at what he did. He's looking at what other people have done from what he did. Blaming other people for our own sin. Looking at other people as though they are more sinful than you are. But Jesus says, you know what? I know the Father's heartbeat on this issue. When you commit adultery, you're not committing adultery only against your wife, but you're committing adultery against God Himself. The sin of adultery violates the trust between a husband and his wife. This sin is a perfect picture of betrayal. In other words, a man or a woman who will betray his marriage or her marriage in this way can betray anything and anyone, because he's able or she's able to go beyond God's limitation. This sin is a treason against the family. It destroys families. You will see next week as we deal with divorce. It comes through. This is a streamline. This is the fountain where all things begin. Destroying lives, children found in the streets because parents have divorced. Children not able to go to school, nobody to pay for because parents are angry with one another. Homes getting sold because people cannot live together because of the sin of adultery. God hates this sin. The world might promote the sin of adultery, but God's word stands. And that is what separates God from man, my friend. That is what will separate a genuine Christian from these ravaging wolves among the sheep. They will know God's word. They will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. The fact that people have banned the Bible, it doesn't mean it is banned your way. The fact that people have twisted scripture to fit your lifestyle doesn't mean you are not wrong. That's what this is about. And a violation of this law, friends, calls for death. If you look at the Old Testament, this crime led to stoning. Turn your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. If you're slow in doing that, let me read it for you. You can write it down. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. If a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Of course, we are not doing that this day. These civil laws and all of these have found their fulfillment in Christ. But that doesn't mean there is no great punishment. That is why Jesus goes on to speak about hell. There is something worse than being stoned. There is a pit of fire where the worm died not because of the sin of adultery. So what we realize from this verse is that nothing is more important than the law of God. It must be held in the highest esteem of every person's life. It must be upheld in the highest esteem. It must be taken with great seriousness. So yeah, friends, Jesus is not bringing an argument from the culture. He's not bringing an argument from his surrounding. Because you can hear many things from the culture. No, it is my culture, the African this and the American that. Jesus is not interested what your culture is. Jesus is not interested about what are the rules and of your tribe. He's not interested. He brings an argument from scripture. He says, God says. Regardless of what Zondo says, regardless of what Ntiwane says, regardless of what Nala says, regardless of what Bembe might say, God says, you shall not commit adultery. Every man and woman, in other words, is responsible before God to uphold the values that God places on the marital fidelity. It is your responsibility as a man and a woman to uphold God's values on marriage. Which is why then adultery also includes fornication. So we're not only talking about married people against another married person. We're talking about being engaged unlawfully in the privileges of marriage. I hope you are with me there. So, the sin of adultery includes fornication itself. The Greek word there has the same idea. So, it is not a matter of cheating. only, but also, as I was saying, to be engaged in marital privileges when you are not married. So in other words, young men, young woman, this is God's word, true and cannot change. Do not act like you are married when you are not married. Don't think because you're doing your things and it seems like you are prospering in your life, as you continue to do those things, don't think that God is fine with it, because He is not. So in other words, you must leave that boyfriend. You must leave the girlfriend. You need to be holy, because God who has called you is also holy. Because without holiness, you will not see the kingdom of God, whether you like it or not. And that's the difference between preaching scripture and telling stories. And that's the privilege of expositional preaching. I have to deal with this. Leave him alone. Get away from that unlawful relationship. It doesn't please God. It is unholy for you to do so, especially if you identify yourself as a child of God. God is serious about it. Get away. Let me say to the men out here, run away from these women who always seek emotional support from men. You have these women who always try to seek emotional support from men. When there's a problem at home, they want to come to you so that you counsel them. Run away. Run for your life. You are not a fool when you run away. It's because you fear God. Run, run. Joseph, run. You are not a fool. If you don't run, your sin will catch up with you. To the ladies, never think even once in your life that you can have a man to be your friend. I know the ladies, they think it is possible. Let me tell you something. Don't think it that way. Men are different species, if I may use that word, than women. All that is in their mind, let me say, what is in their mind is beyond friendship. Just trying to use nice words here. One might try to convince himself otherwise, but deep in that secret caves of his heart, the bed is already laid. Should the opportunity present itself, trust me, he will take it. Men will take that opportunity. Do not think you can be a man's friend. Ladies, so you need to avoid an inappropriate relationship with the opposite gender if it is not your wife or if it is not your husband. That is what this is all about. You can shoot me, but this is the word of God. You cannot have it. Anyway, so the clear teaching of Jesus in this verse is that your body does not belong to you. Your body is not for sexual immorality. In other words, you need to appreciate that connection. There is a connection between your sexuality and your spirituality. It's a picture that God wants you to understand. The picture of a husband and a wife together is a picture of a covenant and a relationship between God and His people. Therefore, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not give yourself to someone else rather than the one you belong to. And don't belong unless God has made you to belong. I hope that is clear. Because it is a violation of God's law. And you will stand before God. And you will answer. Secondly, adultery is more than an act. So it is not just the act. Adultery is more than an act. Now we look at the root of adultery. We see from verse 28, that deep beneath the act of adultery is lust. That is what we need to look at now. Beneath that act of adultery, behind what we see people doing, there is something deep, hidden, deep in their heart, and it is lust. So Jesus interpreted this commandment to point out that one might not have been involved or engaged himself into the actual act of adultery, but he might also stand condemned for the very same sin. That is what Jesus is saying in the next verse. So in expounding this way of righteousness, Jesus says in verse 28, "But I say to you, that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So according to Jesus, the violation of God's law begins within the heart. The violation of God's law begins in the heart, and whether it is acted out or not, it continues and it remains to defile the person and leave him guilty and liable before God. What is in the heart leaves you or keeps you guilty before God. That's how deep this is. So, it is not just the action, but the thoughts as well. It is not just the action, but the thoughts. The problem is the lustful appetite of the flesh that is within the heart. And such sinful thoughts and desires are equally condemnable with the act itself. That is what Jesus is saying right here. So the problem, friends, again, I'm repeating what I said last week. The problem is with the heart. I want you to remember the story of David and Bathsheba. I'm not going to tell you the story. It's going to waste your time because you know the story already. But I want you to remember these few things. David saw, then David lusted. After lusting, he pursued the woman. After pursuing the lady, he then acted. Remember what I just said to you. He saw, he lusted, lusting, started to pursue. In other words, he started to nurse his sin within the heart. Then he began to act. The problem was not seeing the woman taking a bath. That is not the problem. Sometimes you cannot help that. The other day I was preaching here. I was telling Barbaraz the other day. I'm preaching. As I'm pointing, because I use my hands and I'm preaching and I'm preaching. As I look by the toilet, there is a woman. She just come in, sit right there by the door, and then she's taking a pee right there facing to my side. And I'm preaching here. Sometimes you cannot help. That's how sinful and horrible this place is. But the problem for David was not seeing the woman taking a bath. Why? Because sometimes you cannot help those things happening. But he did not restrict his seeing. That's where the problem is. He did not restrict his seeing. He began to fantasize in his mind, and then he hosted this Q&A, the question and answer session in his mind, and he started to ask questions, and then he planned, and consequently that sinful lust led to physical acts of adultery. He was thrown away by sin, swift, like chaff, to the jaws of sinfulness. He was swept away into shame. Not only did his eyes jump that full river, but David stretched his hand to another man's territory, and he began to feel at home. Listen to what Proverbs 6 verse 25 says. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. Do not let her capture with your eyelashes. You must be careful of these women with eyelashes. I'm not saying it's wrong to make eyelashes, but it's done so that it captures you. The Bible says, do not be captured by her beauty, because women are beautiful. Check my wife. Women are beautiful, my friends. But let women not capture you with their beauty. That's what happened to David. He sees a beautiful woman, even though there were many other beautiful women. He sees her lashes, eyelashes. Twist. I don't know what they're doing. They're twisting now. They cut everything and they draw lines. Now David is captured. That's where the problem is. So the proverb says, stop looking in a way that arouses sinful desires. That is why Jesus continues to use the 10th commandment as he's speaking to his disciples. The 10th commandment, which says, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's house, your neighbor's male servant, your neighbor's female servant, or your neighbor's ox. You shall not covet his donkey and anything that is your neighbor's. The Old Testament, they use the word covet, coveting. Some people covet. I'm not an English man, but one of those words is the right one. It uses that word. What does that word mean? Lust. It's the same word that Jesus is using. It's lust. It is to crave for something. It is to have strong desires within. So that is to let the heart be the devil's playground to arouse desires which will lead you to damnation. Desires which will lead you to go beyond God's limitations. Craving. Lust that will lead you to not lust. You will die because of this lust. Many diseases have come through because of this lust that ends up being an act. Because the lust leads to emotions and the so-called feelings, and the emotions leads to the sin. So friends, what we see here is that the presence of sin within our hearts or within us is a reality that cannot be ignored. There is something happening within the heart. Jesus says, you don't have to touch in order to commit adultery. It is within the heart as you lust for the person. It is already committed in your heart. But that lust must not continue to drive you from godliness. It should no longer have sway against you. It should no longer be able to push you over the cliff to the jaws of hell. That is what Jesus is saying here. Because that's where it leads. So don't let sin reign on your mortal body. Don't let sin be sovereign upon you. That's the word reign. Don't let sin be the driver and the director and the decider of your life. Don't allow your desires to provide a fertile environment to brew lust and sin. Do not do that. So the lesson here in verse 27 and 28 is that those who are married need to support each other. Those who are not married need to stay away from what is forbidden from them. Those who are married need to be supporting each other as God intends for them to support each other. A man must fulfill his duties, also should the woman fulfill her duties. So Jesus says, you need to avoid lust. Don't gaze upon something which strives to entice you in, because you'll be affected and then be guilty before God. Listen to what James chapter 1 verse 15 says. You can write down. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and the sin leads to death. Let me tell you how sick this world is, just to show you how strong desires may be to lead people to sin. The other day I was reading an article, can't remember, it was a newspaper or one of the internet articles, but I was reading these articles that two friends exchange wives because they both lusted for each other's wife. And the wives also agreed because they've been lusting for each other's husband for a very long time. So what they did is to do this thing in a proper way, to do this thing so that nobody sins against another, they decided to exchange the wives. That is the way they thought it is good to do, the way they thought it was a way to deal with the sin or the sin of lust. Yes. So they exchanged wives. That's how sick this world is my friend. They will not see, they will not go as far as to see what is Jesus' perspective on this thing. What is God's, what does God say about this thing? So they exchange their spouse. Seek wealth. Because this world is obsessed about sexuality. You can see on national TV, the other day I was telling my wife, we were driving, that's not TV now, we were driving towards my work. There's a big billboard there. They're actually advertising one of the taps, water taps. But you can hardly see the tap. It's a small thing on the big billboard. In small ways, but there's this huge picture of a naked woman next to it. So what you need to, what needs to be captured in your eye is a naked woman. Then that's how sick the world is, obsessed about sexuality. Is it not what drives the gay movement today, the homosexual movement? I mean, obsessed about sexuality regardless of what God says. Twisted-minded generation who view light as darkness and darkness as light. People say good is bad, bad is good. But what you see is that the problem is within the heart. Why? Because God says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. No one can understand it. That's what God says. So in other words, you can castrate yourself, but you will never solve the problem. That will not matter. The heart will always be vulnerable to sin. The problem is rooted in the heart. The heart is fallen. The heart needs Jesus. The heart needs to be raised from the dead. It doesn't matter what you do in the body. In other words, Jesus must take residence in that heart. Jesus must take the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh, so that you may behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So that you may behold the Lamb of God who appeared in order to take away sin, and in Him there is no sin, says the Word of God. Only when Jesus comes through in your life, cleanse you from within, change your mindset, deal with the issues of the heart, only that time this can be sorted. So we need Jesus in our lives, regardless of who we think we are, because we will never deal with this sin. I will show you my third point. Unless we have Jesus. So it is clear from Jesus' teaching, my friend, that what matters most is purity before God. Purity is what is important in the eyes of the Lord. Read Romans 8 verse 13. It says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." He needs the Spirit of God. You need to watch over your heart, my friend. That's what this is about. Watch over your heart, because this sin is deeper than its physical manifestation. You can laugh at these people I mentioned here, but if you don't deal, if you don't watch over your heart, you might fall in the very same sin and scorn the name of the Lord. So watch over your heart, my friends, lest your heart becomes a big playing field or sport field of lust, where lust plays in your heart like people playing a soccer game, scoring goals and winning in your heart. Deal with it. So ladies, like I was saying, this is not to men. This is not to men only. You are also responsible. We are responsible before God. I need to advise you, stop thinking that you need to be naked to be beautiful, or half naked to be recognized. No, we are beautiful whether we are sleeping or we are not asleep. You don't have to be naked for a man to say, "Wow, beautiful." You know what I'm talking about. Check your friends on Facebook. They will make sure they check what selfies, then so that people say like or beautiful. No, you are responsible. So stop enticing men into sin. So as you get out of the home, Look at yourself. If you get out of your house, look at yourself. Remember that God does not only judge people according to what they have done. He judges the intent of the heart as well. He judges the intent of the heart. He judges the thoughts of the heart. So as he will judge men for lust, the act of the lust itself and the act of adultery, he will also judge you for the intent of your heart. That's God. And friends, many people lie to themselves. No, I don't mean any harm. This is right. I don't mean any harm. Stop fooling yourself. Stop fooling yourself, my friend. Doesn't God says, do not cause your brother to fall into temptation? He does. So, God goes deep to that secret compartment of the heart and see what is there. You can lie to us, but you cannot lie to God. That's the point I want to bring to you here. Adultery is more than an act. It does not only affect men, it affects also women. Men lust sometimes because women cause them to lust. But it's not an excuse. You are liable, responsible before God. He says, if any man, not some men, not a few men, if any man look at the woman, the look is not the sin, but if you look with a lustful intent, you have already committed adultery with her in your heart. Deadly. Adultery calls for serious measures. Serious measures. It will not be solved by sitting at home and locking yourself in the house. It calls for more serious measures. So Jesus here says, something must be done. It is your responsibility to do something about it. Look at verse 29 to verse 30. It says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than the whole body be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one member of your body than the whole body be thrown into hell. So you might think here Jesus is very harsh and says, cut your hand, take your eye away. No, friends. The emphasis is not in the cutting of the hand. This is a warning. It tells you of how serious this sin is. How serious you should look at this sin. How serious you should work on ways of dealing with the sin. This is a picture to show to you that it might cause you to go through a painful process to deal with the sin. That's what Jesus is saying. You must tear your eye out and throw it away. You must cut your hand and throw it away. So Jesus says there is a way here to safeguard your soul. There is a way to safeguard yourself from the pit. Safeguard yourself from fornication and adultery. It will take you to be personally involved in the act of dealing with the problem that is within your heart. You need to personally take serious measures to deal with this issue, to bring this issue to an end. Just like I said to you, Jesus is not saying literally cut your hand or pluck or gouge out your eye. No, the emphasis here is on the seriousness of the sin and its intolerable consequences. The cutting of the hand shows you the consequence. He says, rather cut the hand or pluck out the eye because there's great consequences than death if you don't do so. So the emphasis is in the seriousness of the crime. And I hope you see, my friend, what I'm trying to say to you. Jesus is signaling the powerfulness of this thing, of this sin. It's a signal. So, if you have to turn off your TV, that tail light version that you have in the house, do. If you have to turn it off, turn it off. If you have to separate yourself from friends on Facebook, do so. Actually, last night, I'm at home dealing with this issue. I was actually in this point. Baba Masubelele calls me, or he gives me an SMS, says, someone has posted naked or pornographic video on my Facebook wall. Well, I check Facebook once a week anyway. Said, I don't even know what to do about it. I don't even know how to delete. I ask him, he directs me what to do. That's what people are. A friend, a brother, is actually a brother, my brother, blood brother. I don't know, maybe somebody hacked into his account and posted those sinful things on mine. But what did I do? He directed me, I deleted this thing, reported it. I also unfriended him from Facebook. I don't want to deal with people like that. He's a brother, but we have to deal with these things in a godly way. Rather not let people lead you to sin that you may stand before God and be judged. Separate from your friends. But let me be clear. It is not a matter of throwing away your TV, my friend. It is not a matter of that. You can throw away your TV and still have that lust in your heart. So it is not a matter of throwing away your TV. It's a matter of seeking holiness. That's why I said women must wear respectable, without any plan in their minds to entice men, to lead men into sin. Jesus said, it is your responsibility to do whatever it takes to keep yourself pure. It is your responsibility to do whatever it takes to live and to walk in the ways of in the way of righteousness and truth. It is your responsibility to win this battle that is before us. Even if it calls for you to do or to go through a painful process, it's worth the sacrifice. So it is clear, my friends, that you must not live according to the flesh. You must not live according to desires of this flesh. You must walk in the light of God. We must walk in the truth of Jesus Christ. Walk in the light of the gospel. Walk in the holiness of God. It may be painful sometimes to cut away your sin, but it must go. Let it go. Something must be done to get rid of this kind of a pressure pump, pumping sinful desires in your heart. Doesn't help to stop the water flowing to the pressure pump. The pressure pump itself must be rooted out. Something must be done about this sin. Of course, the answer, my friends, I don't have to say it over and over, but I will say it because people need to know. People need to hear it over and over. If as I hear it, it becomes a tonic of my soul, that refreshing tonic to know that there is an answer. The cross is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. Only through the cross there will be no longer any person to be condemned. Only through the cross there is true freedom. Only through the cross there is genuine repentance. Only through the cross there is victory over this sin and in peace of mind. Only through the cross we are able to maintain our daily affairs within our hearts. Only through the cross you can submit to God's word and present yourself and present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, which is your spiritual worship. Only through the cross you can look at God and say, thank you, Jesus. Only through you this is possible. Only through the cross, my friend, you will not conform to the standard of this world. We need the cross of Christ in our lives. Only through this cross you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Only through this cross you can discern what the will of God is and do what is right. The cross, the cross, the cross. Lift up your soul, lift up your eyes unto the hill where your help can be found. Lift up your eyes unto the cross. It was his death on the cross that became an essential ransom for many. A price paid for people who don't deserve to be released from the bondage of sin. It was through the cross that ransom was paid. It was through the cross that the forgiveness of sin was not only made available, was not only made possible, but sure, it is yours if you will just behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So friends, you can cut your hand, you can gouge out your eye, but that kind of an attitude or that pattern of life will not buy you or guarantee you salvation. It will not give you redemption. It will not give you a pardon, because the problem is deep inside the heart. There's only one person who can deal with the problem that is within the heart. The man Jesus Christ, who gave his whole body so that your eye and your hand may be saved as well as your body. He gave his whole body. He was crucified. He was nailed on the cross for you. Jesus Christ gave himself while we were still weak, while we were still sinners. In him, God reconciled us. He reconciled us to himself through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can deal with this. Only Jesus Christ can rescue us from this lustful sin. Only Jesus Christ, my friend, can cleanse your heart and set you free. Jesus Christ. So if you will cut your hand, or if you will gouge out your eye, as it were, rather do it through the cross, giving yourself to Jesus, saying, take my life and let it be consecrated unto thee, O God. Take my will and make it thine. It will no longer be mine. Take my hands and let them move in the impulse of thy love. Only if you say these words, saying, all to you I surrender, O God. All to you I freely give. I will bow before you, O God. Humbly at your feet I bow, forsaking all the worldliness that is in there, that is out there. So guide me, O Jehovah. Guide me, O great Jehovah. I am a pilgrim in this world of sin. Guide me, point me to the right direction. Teach my heart not to sin. Friends, only God can deal with this sin. Because we are weak, he is strong. We are wrong, he is right. He is big, we are small. He is so significant, we are insignificant. He is holy, we are not. Come to Jesus. Deal with the sins, any of the sins, through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So Jesus' main point here is that the purity of heart is what matters before God. Purity of both men and woman matters before God. You cannot tolerate a sin inside your own heart. You cannot nurse your sin. You need to be concerned about what is within your heart, even though no one sees what is in your heart. Because God sees what is in your heart. Let me close like this, my friends. Adultery is a violation of God's law. It disrupts families. It leads to divorce, like I said. It leads to suffering of children. It corrupts the body above all, because the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you need to be careful. Do not look at the woman with a lustful intent. Do not look at the woman and build up that sinful imagination within your heart. Do not look at the woman to the point that it arose unlawful passion within the heart. So in other words, when the sin of lust knock at your door, when that sin knock at that door of your heart, you need to deal with it before it deals with you. Do not nurse your sin. It will lead you to spiritual ruins. You need to be careful, young man, young woman. You need to be careful how you use that cell phone, how you use that internet connection that you have. God is watching. Even though I'm not watching, God is watching. Your friend, your brother, your mother, your sister may not be watching. God is watching, my friends. You will find yourself in the pit of hell unless you repent today, unless you come to Jesus right now, unless you give your life unto him today and confess your sin, unless you become like Job, unless you make this covenant with yourself. Job made a covenant with himself. As we read in Job 31 verse 1, he says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. What is the covenant? How I will not gaze at a vision, In other words, I have made a covenant with myself. I have put it upon me. It is my responsibility not to look at a woman to a lustful intent. I have made a covenant with. I have done something about it. In other words, my friends, we must do something about it. But this does not mean you must not have lust for your wife. If you don't have lust for your wife, something is wrong with you. Come see me. We have to deal with it. This doesn't mean you must not, women, you must not cause your husband to lust for you. Because if you don't, something is wrong with you. Don't come to me. Maybe go to my wife. She will deal with you. Really, this does not say do not lust. But you must lust to what is appropriate for you. It is not the prostitute's job to make your husband lustful. It is not the television, the television, or the television that must cause your wife, your husband to lust. It's you. It's you, and it's you, and it is you. That, I just wanted to get that one so that we are in. Hallelujah. Thank you. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
But beside this, friends, ladies, don't be a mean by which the devil used to cause men to fall. You will also be thrown into the lake of fire. You need to stop. You need to repent today. You need to come to Jesus today. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 6 and 7. Whosoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be thrown into the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptation to sin. For it is necessary that temptation come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation come. Don't let the devil to use you to bring temptation to someone else. Don't nurse your sin. Man, that's what this is. Remember what Jesus says to that woman in John chapter 8, a woman caught in the act of adultery. The same words I want to say to you today. He said, go and sin no more. In other words, go, work out your salvation with trembling and fear. May the good Lord bless you. Let us pray.